7:37 at WGCL, the final Tuesday of the month of June, and we check in with the MCCSC's superintendent, Dr. Judy DeMuth. Dr. DeMuth, good morning. How are you?
Wonderful. How are you doing?
Well, June has evaporated. Every time it seems we talk, in the last school, the school board meeting is always on the close to the last Tuesday of each month. So every time I talk to you, it seems like I've got another month of 2017 disappearing. And tonight is no different, as the fourth and final Tuesday of June. We'll see a very busy school board meeting tonight. Tell us what's on the docket.
Absolutely. So the community will hear about a little bit about our AP scores. Our students, both at North and South, 25% of those students scored a 3 or higher on our advanced placement exams. And there are only 73 schools in the state of Indiana that achieved that. So we're very excited about that. And so we'll hear a little bit about that. We'll hear a bit about our partner recognition. As you know, it takes a village to raise children.
Absolutely.
And also to operate a school corporation. And so we have tremendous partners, the radio station being one, a community foundation. There's just a host. We probably have 50 community pair partners that we'll be thanking this evening for all the extras and the resources they provide to our students. That includes the Hoosier Food Bank, Bunger and Robertson, the Herald Times, Smithville Telephone. I could go on and on, and tonight the community will hear, and we want to really thank all of our community partners because we can't do it without them.
And you have something else. Well, it's been an issue that has touched a lot of people and touched a lot of people recently, and we were talking right before we went on the air. The reason this has kind of come to the forefront is because you're on a federal deadline that you have to deal with. Talk about the school lunch and what we're going to hear tonight.
Yes. And so the federal government let us know that we had to put a policy in place by July 1st. And this came, I think, in late April, early May, regarding debt in the school lunch program, and that the federal government didn't want to hear about debt, and they didn't want to be charged for debt in our school lunch program, and that we could not hold debt. So in working with our food service department, of course, we've been very cautious of that all the way along, and so we really believed that what we were currently doing, we could put into our policy, and that would meet the intent of the federal guidelines, because we do have a way to try to contain the debt and contain the cost. Unfortunately, that cost or that debt has been rising over the years. In 2011-12, we had debt of about $9,700, and in 2016-17, debt of $11,447. Now, one may ask, how does that happen? Well, what happens is when students do not pay their lunch for their lunches, we allow them to charge three meals. In other words, our children can charge their lunches, and parents have access to their accounts. They can get online and take a look at their accounts, and they can even see what their child's eating, quite frankly. And so parents and family members feed money into those accounts. If there's no money in the account, the child can go through the line three times and charge with no money in their account, and they get whatever they select, and we just incur that debt. On the fourth time, in an effort to contain the cost, what happens is they're exchanged or given, rather than the lunch they've chosen, we give them a sandwich, fruit, and milk. That lunch costs 57 cents versus the other lunch that they chose, the average cost of that's about $2.85. So the bottom line is we have to throw away, and what we're doing as a result of all this input, and by the way, Mike, we have gotten great input.
Oh,
on
I bet.
This. What we do is we have to throw anything that's not covered away. We cannot reserve that. And typically that's the entree, which has cost us 60 cents. So what we've done as a result of all the input, most of our schools have gardens, so we're going to be taking that food and putting it in the gardens as compost. But the bottom line is when you get all through those numbers, that's $1.68 that we save because we give a different lunch to the child, even though we have to get rid of that that's not covered, which is 60 cents. So rather than the $2.85 for the entire lunch that we would lose because the family's not paying, we really try to contain our costs and hand the child a lunch that really costs 57 cents. So that sounds confusing, but we save $1.68. So if you multiply that times 10,000 lunches or 9,500 lunches a day, you see that that can grow into quite a heavy debt. And so to contain that, we do give children, our number one goal is to make sure children are fed, whether it be breakfast or lunch, and all children are fed. I think that was kind of a misconception at first that we just didn't feed children. Our goal is to feed all children. Sometimes when they have no money after the third charge, when they head into their fourth charge, we do give them an alternate meal of a sandwich, fruit, and milk. So that's what this is all about. We're very fortunate in public education because we're eligible to take part of the federal lunch program. So we have the opportunity to offer lunches. And in many schools, if they're privates or charters, they don't have lunches. They, you know, kids just bring their lunch from home, or, you know, they may have other arrangements with other restaurants to bring in lunch. But we participate in the federal lunch program. But the federal government doesn't want any debt. So we
have to play by the rules.
We have to figure out a way to contain that debt, or many people have sent me articles about states taking over the lunch debt, or, you know, the lunch programming, so to speak, and so all students are free, because that's what you would have to do is, you know, if the child doesn't meet the federal guidelines on free and reduced lunches, which all those children do get free or reduced lunches, then the other children, the paid children, we would have to really allocate and be ready to allocate money for as many children as, you know, didn't pay for the lunches. So this is one of those things where it's an absolute no-win. It's one of those things that's not funded by the state of Indiana, just like textbook, just like preschool, just like mental health services. I mean, I could go on. And we're trying to do our very best to contain costs, but always make sure children eat. That's our number one priority.
Yeah, you start there and work your way backwards. But as you mentioned, the money tree is not growing out back. And in the money you have received from the state over the last few years, it's not going up. So there's not that money to come from. So at the end of the year when you have to pay for this, where does that money come from? Does it come out of other programs, or how does that work?
Well, yes. Well, what happens is we have to pay it, and so we pay it out of our general fund, which is the fund that we pay for salaries and benefits and all of those things that all of our people, so to speak, are, I call it the meat and potatoes of the budget, all of the people that are in the classroom. So, you know, we get into this whole thing about, okay, how much money are you willing to take out of the general fund to pay for these lunches? And if you don't contain the cost, how do you appropriate enough money in thinking about budgeting to pay for all these kids' lunches? And so that's the conversation you get into. And it becomes a very difficult conversation because we certainly want children to feel good about what they're doing, and we really want to make sure that they're fed and all those things. But at the end of the day, if you read the paper article, there are about 5 children a day that for some reason or another have exceeded their number of charges. And we do give them that alternative meal, which, again, is more cost-effective to not, you know, continually multiplying our deficit. That's what it really boils down to.
Dr. Judy DeMuth, our guest this morning, the superintendent of the MCCSC, tonight's school board meeting. Again, we'll talk about this. When you hear public comment tonight, we know there's some groups going to be presenting statements and everything else. Is your policy open for discussion? Is it open for change? Are you looking to hear new ideas, better ideas to help maybe this process be a little better or be a little more streamlined moving forward?
So the policy was approved at our last meeting. So that policy is in place, and we have met the federal requirement of having that policy in place. If we do hear some things that could accommodate changes that would, again, work with not contributing to our debt, we would certainly want to incorporate that. So what we've done, and again, listening to all these people give input, they have given me some great input on, you know, we have a whole process. When a child's account is deficit, we communicate with the parents or guardians by letter, by email, and they can get on their software and take a look at their child's account. the social workers get involved in some things you've read. You know, we actually have teachers or food service people contributing to the child's lunches if there's a difficult hardship in the family. We do whatever we can to assist that child. But on top of that, what we did was, this will be the first year that we've put in place a donation piece. And people can give donations to our foundation, the Education Foundation, and Ms. Sorella Helms is overseeing that. So what we're going to do is have that pot of money, and we're working with our software company, so when a child comes through the line and they get to their fourth charge, and they have no money in their account, we push a certain button, and the money comes directly out of the foundation account and pays for the child's lunch.
So there's no lunch shaming or anything else that goes on with that?
That is correct. The child would just continue through the line as is.
But you would still try to address the issue moving forward of getting that account out of deficit and moving forward. This just doesn't abstain payment down the road.
Right. We're going to continue to work with the child, work with the family, try to, you know, get the resources. But as many donations as we get, those children just continue through the line as nothing is happening. Now, where the rubber meets the road, so to speak, is if we don't have any more donations in that account. At that point in time, a child would get an alternate meal. But I'm hoping that we have a wonderful community. So I'm hoping that we get enough donations and we don't have to deal with this issue. You know, it all works. So we've got to monitor that. This will be the first year that we're going to put that in place. And so that was as a result of passing this policy. We put this account together. We're going to have the magic button, if you will, work with our software company. And hopefully we can eliminate the number of children that in the end don't have the money in their account after the fourth charge.
And again, that's a positive moving forward, because the kids really don't have a lot to do with that. We know that. It's the parents. And boy, we wish that the parents would sometimes figure out that feeding the children leads to better paying attention, leads to getting their homework done, leads to some other things. But that's another conversation for an entirely different show. What time is the meeting tonight?
Our meeting starts at 6 p.m., and we welcome those who would like to attend. It's right here in our administrative offices, and we look forward to those who may want to join us.
Excellent. I figure you'll have a nice crowd tonight, and we'll hear all about it here in the next coming days. We thank you so much for your time, and I hope this new project and new process works out. It sounds like it's a step in the right direction.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dr. DeMuth. We'll talk soon. Judy DeMuth, she is the superintendent of MCCSE Schools, checking in before a very busy program tonight. So we've tried to present both sides of the story and let you decide. We've talked to, obviously, Amanda Nicky from Mother Hubbard's Cupboard. She is the president and CEO. We talked to her yesterday. And obviously the superintendent of MCCSE Schools giving you some more details on the policy that's passed. And then we'll hear reaction to that policy after tonight's meeting.